Kevin, a middle school student with autism, once described special education as spending all day doing what you're not good at. His words cut to the heart of everything broken in how we educate children who learn differently. But Kevin's story didn't end there. When his family moved him from a segregated classroom into general education with proper supports, everything changed. He graduated with honors, earned an engineering degree, and now works for a company that specifically values autistic employees for their analytical gifts. His journey reveals a profound truth. When we design schools for everyone, we unlock potential we never knew existed. The irony? While our world grows more accessible, voice recognition, screen readers, adaptive technology everywhere, our schools still systematically separate students with and without disabilities, as if proximity itself were dangerous. For two centuries, we've approached disability through a medical lens, cataloging impairments and focusing on fixing individuals rather than examining the barriers we've built. One superintendent put it bluntly, "Show me your master schedule and I'll tell you what your values are." Those schedules often reveal the uncomfortable truth: separate classrooms, isolated programs, limited intersection between students with and without disabilities. America lags behind countries like Italy, where inclusive education is standard practice. Italian schools welcome all students into general classrooms from kindergarten through high school, treating inclusion as basic human dignity. Their general education teachers own every student's learning, using paraprofessionals only for non-instructional support. Decades of research confirm students in inclusive settings achieve higher academically, pursue post-secondary education more often, maintain employment longer, and develop stronger social skills. When specialists collaborate in general classrooms rather than isolating students, everyone benefits from richer instruction and authentic diversity. Our current system treats disability as something requiring specialized management rather than natural human variation, like race or language. This separation harms students with disabilities while robbing everyone of genuine relationships and perpetuating stereotypes that make inclusion feel foreign. Real change requires examining unquestioned beliefs. Shanice struggled in segregated special education, but made the honor roll when moved to general education with appropriate supports. Her abilities didn't change. Our approach did. Research reveals teachers unconsciously expect less from labeled students, offer fewer advanced opportunities, and judge behavior more harshly. This bias intensifies for African American boys, labeled with behavioral disorders at 3 to 4 times the rate of peers. John Hattie's research found that not labeling students accelerates learning by more than a year. The prove you belong mindset creates absurd barriers. Justine couldn't access general education until she mastered personal care skills. Brad needed sight words first. These arbitrary prerequisites delay education while peers move forward. Special education's binary system, you either have a defined disability or you don't, determines service access through rigid cutoff scores, ignoring that needs exist on a continuum. A disability label often functions merely as a socio-political passport to services rather than reflecting actual learning needs. Geography often determines placement more than individual needs. When Catherine tried enrolling her son Jamie at their neighborhood school, administrators redirected her to a cluster program miles away. In the late 1980s, a child with intellectual disability in Massachusetts was 16 times more likely to be in general education than a similar child in California. Districts build separate facilities that fill year after year, despite federal law prohibiting placement decisions based on disability category or administrative convenience. The infused skills grid offers a better framework, using general education as the default and mapping priority skills against daily routines to identify natural intervention opportunities. Teacher preparation programs separate general and special educators from day one, creating collaboration barriers that persist throughout careers. In IEP meetings, general educators are often pulled from hallways to satisfy legal requirements, then dismissed, signaling they're not essential partners. Today's special educators provide instruction through co-teaching, design accommodations preserving learning objectives, and introduce universal design strategies. General educators teach diverse populations using flexible grouping, differentiated instruction, and technology integration while consulting specialists to co-design instruction and monitor progress. True inclusion transforms service delivery, not just location. Clustering many students with disabilities in few inclusion classrooms or assigning one-on-one paraprofessionals creates dependency while technically meeting legal requirements. Students with disabilities should be distributed across classrooms reflecting natural proportions, typically 10%. Paraprofessionals now work in over 90% of U.S. schools, implementing teacher-designed lessons and supporting classroom management. They should never be assigned to single students, as this hinders peer relationships essential for social development. Instead, they rotate among students, supporting the entire classroom community. At Great Lakes Middle School, seventh grade teachers discovered their approach to struggling writers created dependency rather than building skills. Students sent to the resource room for one-on-one help earned acceptable grades but showed no writing improvement over time. Response to intervention is often misunderstood as a tiered system, moving struggling students from general classrooms to intervention classes to special education. However, RTI was designed as prevention, remediation added only when excellent instruction proves insufficient. True RTI is a school-wide initiative focused on systematically improving general education to minimize intervention needs, with flexible movement between tiers based on ongoing assessment. Through co-teaching, services enter the general classroom using a zone defense, where teachers help any student needing support. General and special educators share responsibility for all students, trading lead and supporting roles as needed. The gradual release of responsibility framework provides common ground. Focused instruction, I do it, guided instruction, we do it, collaborative learning, you do it together, and independent learning, you do it alone. When any phase is omitted, vulnerable students pay the steepest price. Kelly, a student with Down syndrome, dreamed of becoming a police officer. While some educators dismissed this as unrealistic, a new school helped her pursue it, leading to an internship and eventual employment at a police department. Her story demonstrates why transition planning should begin earlier, helping students explore aspirations from a young age. The IEP process has drifted from its original intent. Rather than aspirational goal-setting sessions, meetings often become sterile reviews of numbers and legal requirements. Many families arrive to find conversations already started without them, while students themselves are frequently absent or merely observe as adults make decisions about their lives. Better practice begins with student dreams, gathering this information before drafting goals. Person-centered planning practices, like making action plans, engage the student's entire support network in articulating possibilities. Many IEP goals are discipline-driven, speech goals, PT goals, rather than student-centered. Alex's story illustrates better practice. Teachers helped the 17-year-old connect his welding interests to meaningful goals about operating his own auto body shop, taking business classes, and developing customer service skills. Goal attainment scales bridge aspirational goals and measurable progress. Federal regulations requiring transition planning only at age 16 come too late. Better practice advocates beginning in elementary school. Supporting student aspirations represents equity-driven education that tells students, "We see you." True inclusion requires persistent effort and systemic change. Clark Elementary School transformed by closing segregated classrooms and bringing neighborhood students with disabilities back, proving inclusion demands ongoing commitment. Schools often seek new interventions to close achievement gaps while overlooking social capital, the norms, relationships, and trust within an organization. Schools with high social capital show improved achievement and higher graduation rates, even overcoming demographic challenges. The National Equity Project's liberatory design approach breaks institutional barriers, creating separate journeys through the same school, requiring collaboration with students, families, and educators to build organizational social capital. Basing instructional decisions on disability status creates false dichotomies. Many students without IEPs need modified instruction, while labeling can pathologize needs. True inclusion means providing quality instruction and supports to all students, regardless of IEP status. Though change starts with individual mindset shifts, it must expand to impact entire school communities through establishing inclusive cultures, restructuring schedules for co-teaching, providing comprehensive professional development, and allocating resources equitably. Research shows inclusive practices benefit all students through increased academic achievement, enhanced social-emotional development, and improved critical thinking skills. Remember Kevin's journey from segregation to inclusion, from being defined by disability to being celebrated for unique abilities. The question isn't whether we can afford truly inclusive schools, it's whether we can afford not to.